The funeral for Tyre Nichols will be held on Wednesday. It comes after a weekend of protests following the release of the video of his beating. It shows Memphis police giving Nichols more than 70 commands in 13 minutes, and some appeared impossible to follow. And the 29-year-old father died 3 days later. Reverend Dante Stewart has been thinking and writing about this. He's author of the memoir Shoutin' in the Fire. Dante Stewart, you shared with us a draft essay you're working on, and it begins with a call you had with your father after the news of Tyre Nichols. And your father told you, according to your essay, that Tyre knew in his heart he wasn't going to make it home. Can you tell us more about that conversation?
It was actually the second time he called me. He called me earlier in the day, and I missed it. And this time, I was able to pick up the call, and I noticed that my father's voice, when you hear the voice of a person who seemed to be incredibly emotional, you could kind of tell when they're trying to, like, recover. His speech was just like, for this man to holler out to his mama, I couldn't imagine. You know, I saw the officers kicking him, the way we used to get burned and lynched, and they had no pity. And so my father, it's almost as if he was pouring out this emotion on his son for 17 minutes straight. Just as a older Black man in this country, my father, in this moment, just wanted to hear the voice of his child.
What did you say to your father?
For me, honestly, I just had questions. I actually write about this in my book, Shouting in the Fire, where I talked to my grandmother about what it meant to live in America in a place that was so drunk on nostalgia, and a time where, you know, people like her or people like my father were silent and abused continually. And I talked with my dad and asked him the question that I asked my grandmother. I asked him clearly, like, yo, what does this do to you as a Black man who's 60 plus year old in this country? Like, what does it do to you? And my dad said, it makes me so angry. But then the most telling part about his anger was this, when he said this. He said that when he heard Tyre cry for his mama, it made him want to cry. And he just could not do it as a parent, and doesn't understand how any parent or any child or any person could see what we saw and hear what we heard and feel what we feel and not be moved to deep grief, sadness, and in some sense, rage. That's what I felt in my father's voice. Rage at the reality that he has to both remember Rodney King, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Trayvon Martin, and now Tyre Nichols.
Your father, in your recounting, used the word lynching. And you use that word in your draft essay, too. Police lynching are your words. Why did you choose those words?
Because I think it tells the truth to what it was. You know, that was more than police brutality. That was in lynching. They wanted to kill him. Because in some sense, lynching is about the spectacle. It's about what someone with power does to another human being to rob and rid them of every ounce of their dignity and put it in the public to show this is what we think about this person. When those in the past put Black people up on noose, it was a message to them. This is our estimation of your life, but much more, this is our hatred of your life. And when Tyre Nichols was beaten and the just immense disregard to him, it showed us in public once again the estimation of Black life. Racism and white supremacy, Stokely Carmichael says, or Kwame Ture says, is not a question of attitude, it's a question of power. And the reason why I chose the word lynching, because this was about power and the power they had over Tyre and the power they wanted to exercise over him and the power they exercised in the world as police. And that's a history. The history of policing in this country has been a history of harm. It's been a history of hatred that warts the mind and the souls of people. The question isn't, is there such a thing as good police or bad police or whatnot? The question is, why has policing continued to produce such terrible human beings? And why aren't those in power doing more to stop what they are doing?
This is, of course, a very public event we are talking about, and and watching. There is an hour or so of brutal video that is available in public. Did you decide to watch it?
I did. You know, I think for me, as a person, as a human being, you know, I was numb when I heard, you know, the news of what he went through. And I believe vicarious suffering is a very real thing. We do not just suffer alone, but we see what other people go through and have to endure, and we feel that pain as well. But I also believe that vicarious love is a thing as well. And I've chosen to watch because in some way, I don't think I need the video to feel the trauma, to feel the pain. But in some way, I personally have done it because I don't want them in some spiritual way to have to endure that alone. And so for me, and I'm even getting emotional, even thinking about it, I don't want that to be the only eyes on him, the eyes of those officers who wanted to assault him. And so for me, in order for me to communicate through writing and through thinking and through empathy, I want to be with him at every moment I possibly can, not just in that video, but also in the video of him skateboarding, in the video of his mother saying, "That's my baby," and even laughing, saying, "You know, I didn't, my baby said he wanted to be famous. I didn't know he meant this." I don't want them to go through it alone. So any way I can vicariously love them in their suffering, in their pain, stand in solidarity with them spiritually, whatever, then I choose to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's not everybody's choice.
We know the police officers in this case are Black. Tyre Nichols was Black. You write, "Just because Black people are present doesn't mean anti-Blackness is absent." What are you suggesting? Are you suggesting racism in the system of law enforcement exists whoever the police officers happen to be?
It's not a thing I suggest. It's a thing history suggests. You know, history tells the story that it doesn't matter who has the badge. The badge has power that whiteness has given it in the world. Whether one is able to stop a person because they believe that they are criminal, or they believe they're in the wrong place, or they believe that they shouldn't be doing what they're doing, that is a power that has been given to them, that has been inherited from the inception of this nation. That is a long historical power. It is the same power that Martin Luther King talked about, that James Baldwin talked about, that Fannie Lou Hamer talked about. So for me, I haven't suggested this. What I am leaning on is the historical record. And what the historical record has shown is that police officers, no matter who they are or where they come from, many of them, when they enter the force, it is exactly that. It is a force that exercises power in this world. And just like as an athlete, when I went to Clemson University, we are bought into a culture that distorts our own self-conception. We believe that we are other, and we function with a power that others aren't able to function in. And so race for us as a Black person, when I get the badge or when I get the ball, my race is in some sense under the shadow and the covering of it. So it doesn't matter who it is. It is about what policing has meant and has done to us and continues to do to us. So yes, the historical record shows that no matter who they are or where they come from, policing does something to people in this country, and we know it, and we better have dealt with it.
Tyre Nichols, the person, we now know his name because of what these police officers did, accused of second-degree murder. How do you imagine being in his family's shoes right now with an entire country talking about their son, talking about their father?
You know, back to vicarious love and vicarious suffering. And I think in this moment for me, to be in their shoes, I can't be in their shoes. And I don't deserve or want that. But I do want to love them as best I can by realizing that we must be kind to them, give them space to grieve. We got to sit with them in their grief and do whatever we can to remind them and us, that no matter how small or seemingly unimportant or how quirky our lives are, we all deserve protection. And that we don't have to be perfect to be seen or to be loved. That we are human enough, and that is true of all of us. And that we need to do whatever we can again and again and again and again and again to tell Tyree and his family that you are more than what they see. And we're going to do whatever we can to cover you and love you. And as my pastor said, Reverend Dr. Charles E. Goodman, in his last Sunday sermon, God has not forgotten you. How do you know that? The divine is with us in our struggle because we are with one another in our pain. That's the truth I hold on to.
That's Dante Stewart, author, theologian, the Reverend Dante Stewart, talking to us about the death of Tyree Nichols. Dante Stewart, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a moment.